As we continue this preaching series, hashtag word, encountering God in sacred scripture, Father Michael and I have been talking about what it means to be able to, first of all, not be intimidated by the Bible. Because sometimes, as Catholics, we can feel a little bit underqualified. Some of us may be from a generation where explicitly the instruction was, don't read the Bible, you might misinterpret it. It's almost like we look at the Reformation period and say, well, the Protestants took the Bible. We held on to the traditions, the rituals, the sacraments. They can read the Bible, we'll do our rituals. It's not scripture alone, it's not tradition alone. It's both together in harmony that is not only seeing how God has spoken to his people, but how God continues to speak to his people. You know, sometimes it can be a little bit of a scary thing. You'll say, I've never prayed with scripture before. Let's take a real quick survey. Anybody here pray the rosary? Well, if you have prayed the rosary, you have prayed scripture. Number one, the Our Father, right out of the Bible, Jesus taught us how to pray. And the Hail Mary is the angelic salutation. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. You are already praying with scripture there. Take it a step farther. The mysteries of the rosary, by and large, are references to events that are accounted in scripture. And by meditating on them, by contemplating them, that is another way of allowing God to speak. Now, granted, sometimes we need to slow down a little and take pause and to focus on those moments. Anybody here pray the Stations of the Cross this past Lenten season? You prayed with scripture. Every one of those 14 stations have some scriptural allusion. And when we take time, and even maybe with the aid of countless books of meditation, little devotionals and so forth, they plunge us deeper into scripture where God continues to speak to us. Remember, Pope Francis told us that God has given us all we need in Scripture. God has spoken. We need to be careful that we don't close the book and relegate it to being brought out only within the ritual. Anybody go to Mass? You pray with Scripture. We've already proclaimed God's word in the reading of the scriptures. Oftentimes, the music, the lyrics to the songs are rooted in the scriptures, and we're lifting them up as sung praise. And when we get into the Eucharistic prayer, you're going to hear scriptural allusions one after another, maybe without even knowing it. Scripture is a rich part of how the church prays. So we have to look and say, well, what's that mean in terms of a personal encounter with Jesus Christ in his word, in the scripture, an encounter with Jesus Christ who is the word, who also speaks to us through his word as we have it in the Bible. Deacon Ron read the gospel slowly and deliberately. Did anybody have any words that jumped out at them or phrases? I'm not going to ask you to say them unless you want to yell them out. Okay. I'm not going to call on you. I promise. It's not class. I know you don't believe me, but I'm not going to call on you. I promise. I'll share with you some of what I had and how it's tied in, because I've been praying with the scripture for about a week or so in preparation for today's homily. That doesn't mean it's exhausting it, because I believe if I took this and prayed with it for a month, there'd be even more that would come out. Father Michael and I are taking slightly different approaches too. Father Michael's going to, you know, talk a little bit more from an Ignatian perspective, that is, use of the imagination. What I'm doing is called more Lectio Divina, divine reading. In other words, where you're reading a passage once, twice, maybe even three times, and doing it slowly and deliberately, letting the words jump off of the page. And there's a bulletin insert. Make sure you pick it up today, because you can use this to follow up on, that outlines very simply both of those approaches to Scripture. One, where you're kind of more putting yourself into the picture, into the story. And then the one I'm talking about today, where you're letting the words kind of jump out at you and you're taking note of it, as that is a way that God can be speaking to you. So let's just go to where the Scripture led me today. What I noticed in my prayer was a series of contrasts in the Scriptures today. Shepherd versus hired worker. Sheep and wolves. A couple other words that came to my mind: comfort or affliction. God's word can do both. But I find today to be a little bit of a combination of both. Maybe a little bit more of affliction in my own case, but also some comfort. You see, Jesus talks about the shepherd versus the hired worker, and there's a distinct difference between the two. When he identifies himself as the good shepherd, he's essentially saying, I'm not just a hired hand who's been put in here amongst a flock, and all I have to do is show up. Now, to me, that has personal ramifications as a priest, and even specifically as a pastor. The Latin word pastor literally means shepherd. A pastor is called to be like a shepherd, indeed to be a shepherd. But there can be a difference in perspective. One can see themselves as the hired worker. I'm just here to do a job to maintain what we have and try to make sure the place doesn't burn down. Or I have a shepherding function. Now, lest you think, you know, you check out and you say, well, he's talking about priests and so forth here. It's not exclusive to priests or pastors. All of us, to some degree, have roles in our lives where we are shepherds. Moms, dads, you shepherd the flocks of your family, your children. Teachers, you shepherd your students. Employers shepherd their employees. And keep in mind, when I say shepherd, that's not just taking a stick and wielding it and getting everybody into shape. The art of shepherding is a little bit more subtle, because elsewhere Jesus tells us, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They know me. They know the voice of the shepherd and they respond. So this idea of shepherding is also about leading, guiding, caring, consoling, comforting, and even challenging. Now, I know when you sit there and you sit with that and say, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You can say, my kids hear my voice, they don't follow. Sometimes I have to corral them, corner them, chase them to get them back into the fold. But what does Jesus also say? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd places himself between the sheep and the wolves. He doesn't allow the wolves to infiltrate the flock. Because what happens when the wolf infiltrates the flock? They get in the midst, they divide, they corner, they attack, and they devour. Now, we're obviously not talking about literal wolves. But toxicity can enter into the body of Christ if we allow it to. Jesus obviously is the one shepherd, but we're not just hired hands. Sad to say, as I read that scripture sometimes, I know that there are times where I fail to speak out, maybe out of some degree of cowardice, perhaps out of a stance of being, well, someone might get upset, or God forbid, someone might complain. Have you ever noticed, and I don't know that everybody has this personality that I have, but you can get 10, 15, 20 compliments and get all pumped up, all energized. Things are going great. And one voice comes out of somewhere with a criticism, as constructive as it might be, or as malicious as it might be, it doesn't matter. And it can deflate everything, can it? You know, you ever have a day that was just going spectacularly well? You know, my future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. Jesus didn't say that. That was Huey Lewis, but he could have said it just as well. And then something happens. The wolf infiltrates. And you feel cornered, attacked, even a little bit devoured. If we let that happen, and we don't stand between the sheep and the danger, that's the work of the hired hand. Now, moms and dads, I think you're the best examples of this at all, of all of us here. You see your children in danger. Wouldn't you put yourself in front of that bus or that bullet? Wouldn't you dive with every ounce of your strength to grab them if they were falling off a ledge? That's the type of shepherd Jesus says that he is. That's the type of shepherd he is, and that's what he calls me to. And man, do I fail miserably some days. You know, when we allow ourselves to let the wolves corner us and separate us from those that we're called to be caring for, watching over, leading, guiding, inspiring to greatness. Oh, there are days that we fail. We just wait for the next success. You might feel that as parents sometimes, if the kids might not be getting it or appreciating it or making the connections, and you think you're a dismal failure. You're not. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means you're growing. But when we allow the words of Scripture to speak to us, they can inspire us to be greater, to be better, to be the people God called us to be. But we have to open up those words. We got to blow the dust off of our Bibles. Or get a good resource like Magnificat that puts the word right there. Or you can even get an app. Do you know how many times on devices like this, the Bible has been downloaded? 200 million. It doesn't even appear on the New York Times bestseller list anymore because it just smokes anybody that would, any other publication or book that would even vie for it. Scripture has an impact. It has impacted civilizations. My dear friends, the more important thing is that we allow Scripture to impact our lives. When we go to Scripture, that's where we get our comfort. That's where we can get our consolation. But you know, sometimes it can make us squirm a little bit too, can it? Many preachers have used the expression that Scripture comforts the afflicted and also afflicts the comfortable. And both are good and necessary things. Because when we're feeling that we're so bad and that we're running around with a big L on our face, loser, God reminds us that we're not. That we are winners. That the victory's been won for us already in Christ Jesus. And when we get so comfortable that we feel that we need no help, that we've got it all together, that there's nothing more we could do, that we've reached it, Scripture reminds us that we still have a ways to go. And that there's never such a thing as retiring from our baptism, from our vocation as disciples of Jesus Christ. Yesterday we celebrated the confirmation of 99 of our young parishioners. Bishop Adam Parker celebrated two masses. And he talked about his own vocation story. And one of the things he talked about is how he struggled in college with what God was calling him to, how he had started out pursuing a path of engineering. And he said the more that he resisted God's call, the more God persisted in calling. It was actually a little bit comical because I was sitting next to Father Michael on the side, and Bishop Adam said something, says, "You know, it's not like I just said, well, I called my mom, I'm supposed to be a priest, I'm going to change my major." No, it didn't work that way for him, but I leaned over to Father Michael. I said, "Yeah, that's what happened to me." And mom was not exactly exuberant in her enthusiasm. "What about grandchildren?" "Well, you don't have any now. You can get by without them in the future, right?" But if we allow the Word of God to touch our hearts, not just our heads, but to really penetrate our hearts, that's how God continues to speak. Doesn't have to be with lightning bolts or clasps of thunder or an earthquake. That still small voice, if we just break open that book and let God speak. Amen.